Okay, hello everyone. We're going to be... I've been working on AI stuff, and so I have Anna over here. I'm going to show you her in a second, and we're going to be going over the news. We're going to see if... we're going to be reading, you know, stuff from Reddit. If I'm the a-hole and stuff. And so I have a collection of stories. Some of them good, some of them scary. And we'll be going over that. So... let's get started. Which button is it? So, we're going to be going over the news. That's Anna over there. She's going to read us our news.
Ohio wants to replace driving instructors with an app.
Okay. I'm just making sure the volume's good. I've been having so many problems with my Bluetooth device.
Ohio-based Grange Insurance is developing a new driver training app which can turn any adult 21 years and older into an untrained and uncertified, but still allegedly capable, driving instructor. And the Ohio legislature is rolling out the red carpet for the app to become a legal replacement for time in a car with a real instructor. As it stands, students have to spend 8 hours of in-car instruction, and the instructor providing those lessons has to have accumulated 60 hours of training on the process. If that already dismal driver education system were to be replaced by an application on the Donut Unregistered Trademark TB loan with your thoughts rectangle, I have some concerns.
So, yeah, so essentially what they're talking about is, you know, they're going to have apps teaching kids to drive. And they're kind of saying, oh, I don't really need the parents anymore to teach them, which is scary because a lot of the parents on the road can't drive. Like, I'm back in 2000. 3, 4, 5, like driving was okay. You'd see a crazy person every once in a while, but now it's nonstop, you know. So I can't imagine somebody who can't learn from a person learning from an app. You know, what's the app going to teach the kid?
OUL Unregistered Trademark S Driver Education System has not unregistered trademark D been updated in 25 years, and if you unregistered trademark V ever driven through the state, that seems to check out. With driving standards seemingly falling extremely short in every state in the nation, OUL Unregistered Trademark S drivers are similarly inattentive, and many blatantly and flagrantly flaunt the existing road laws they did commit to memory. Reducing the standards for driving education will only serve to increase the danger of our roadways. While it seems imperative that Ohio driving education receives a series of updates and moves to incorporate technology and better standards, this DOSNA unregistered trademark T seemed to be the right way to go about it.
I can't believe people...
Representative Klopfenstein claims that this move is merely an attempt to alleviate waiting lists for students trying to get driver education, as the state is lacking certified instructors. IOE3A unregistered trademark SA backlog in the ability for new drivers to get their driver unregistered trademark S education, he said. IOE to say this is to replace driving education schools? No. IDA unregistered trademark S to enhance it, make it better. A.
Yeah, I don't really think that's going to make it better.
Under the bills, the Ohio Department of Public Safety would create a rule book to establish the kinds of requirements necessary to implement this new app-based instruction. The app itself would need to pass muster with ODPS in order to reach the wider market and act as a stand-in for in-person teaching.
Yeah, so don't drive through Ohio. I live in Michigan, so we don't like Ohio. Whenever my family and I are doing road trips and stuff, it's kind of like the joke, oh, we're in Ohio, because it feels like it takes like 3 hours to get to Ohio from where I live. So like we used to go to Pennsylvania and New York for school and stuff when my sisters were in college, and we'd be driving forever, and then we find out we're still in Ohio, which is like, oh, it means we have like 8 more hours to drive. So this next story is kind of, you know, not a good one, not a happy one. So we'll read that.
Squatters suspected of killing woman in NYC apartment, stuffing her body in duffel bag, police sources say.
So yeah, so this lady, her, I think her mother died, and she went to go clean out the apartment, but people had already taken it over.
New York, police sources are revealing more details about a murder mystery in Manhattan. They say the Joint Fugitive Task Force is hunting for two suspects after Nadia Vitales, 52, was killed inside her mother's New York City apartment. It happened in the Kips Bay neighborhood. Sources say the suspects were squatters. Victim found squatters in mother's vacant apartment. Sources say, according to police sources, Vitales was killed after she traveled to New York City from Spain to get the apartment ready to be occupied a family friend. It had been vacant for months after the death of her mother. Police sources say Vitales didn't know when she went to the apartment that two squatters had been living there. When she arrived, she could be seen on surveillance video coming and going from the apartment. Police believe the two suspects returned to the apartment after Vitales arrived, surprised and killed her by beating her to death.
Yeah, so not a happy story. But it gets worse.
Her body was found stuffed in a duffel bag in the front closet of an apartment on the 19th floor of the building on 31st Street. Superintendent Jean Pompey let concerned family members into the apartment on March 14th after they couldn't reach her. The male pointed to the closet. He said he believed that there's a body in the bag, Pompey said. And all of her clothes were down, so you really couldn't see the bag. You could see partially, a little bit. The medical examiner ruled her death a homicide due to blunt force trauma to the head. Police sources said they've identified two squatters they believe beat her to death. These sources said they were not known to Vitales, but may have been squatting in the apartment before she started moving either herself or someone else, and I've always believed that no one had moved in, Pompey said. The two suspects are seen on video stealing her Lexus from the street out front and fleeing. The car, police sources said, was later involved in an accident in Pennsylvania. Sources said the two suspects went to used car dealers after the crash looking to buy a car. They remain at large.
Yeah, so, yeah. You know, you go home. I mean, it's terrible enough that, you know, your mother died and you go to clear out her stuff. And then they have squatters. There's another story I found that we're going to get to, but I think there was like some law that they were trying to pass that if you squat in a place long enough, you can become a tenant. I don't know if that was Pennsylvania or New York, but I vaguely remember seeing that. And this one's a little lighter.
Cape Cod man learns weeks after buying new home he doesn't unregister trademark to own part of it.
So this guy bought a new house, new home, and he owns everything except for the propane tank. So we're going to see what happens to that.
He's nearly out of propane, the fuel used to heat and cook at his newly built Cape Cod house, but says he can't get anyone to refill the propane tank. That's due to a heated dispute about who owns it. And his story raises important questions for home buyers everywhere. We've been running the house at 60 degrees during the day and 55 at night trying to hold on to the propane, Angelini said. I've got somewhere between a week and 10 days at most. Angelini closed on his home last July. At the time, he says there was no discussion or any disclosures about the propane tank. But several weeks later, he got a letter out of the blue from Dunlap's Propane in Plymouth. The letter is dated August 25th, 6 weeks after he closed on the property, and says the tank belongs to Dunlap's. It also says Angelini must only purchase propane from them, and if the tank ever has to be dug up, he has to pay for it. I called Dunlap's and said, "Who are you?" "I don't have an agreement with you," Angelini said. In response, he says Dunlap's told him they had an agreement with the builder about retaining ownership of the propane tank. That left Angelini a little fired up, but he decided to ignore it at first. He was able to get the propane tank refilled by a different company. But then he says Dunlap's put a lock on the tank that, by the way, is buried in the middle of his front yard. Angelini had the lock removed by a locksmith and put his own on.
It gets better.
When I went away on vacation, I came back, my bolt had been cut off, and Dunlap's put another lock in there while I was gone, Angelini said, adding that Dunlap's hasn't supplied any written documentation of the agreement with the builder. He refuses to or he doesn't have it. News Center 5 tried repeatedly to get an interview with anyone from Dunlap's Propane for the story, but they refused to speak on the record or supply documentation on the tank's ownership. A real estate attorney who unregistered trademark S not involved in this dispute says an arrangement like this should have been disclosed by the builder in the purchase and sale agreement. It really is the kind of thing that should come up fairly early in the process when the buyer is looking at the property, said Callie Bonivi, a partner specializing in real estate law at Wilson, Marino and Bonivi & Newton. Instead, Angelini's purchase and sale document is silent on the propane tank. It also includes multiple clauses which seem to say the tank now belongs to Angelini. Included in the sale as a part of the premises are the buildings, structures, and improvements, says one clause. Another reads, "No building, structure or improvement of any kind belonging to any other person or entity shall encroach upon or under said premises." I do think that general language might be enough for a buyer to say, "Hey, maybe I didn't ask you the specific question about the propane tanks, but I also have a clause in my contract that says that the components of the house come with this house," Bonivi said. And that may be enough. Massachusetts is a caveat emptor, or buyer beware state, which means the burden is on a home buyer to do their homework on a property. That's why Bonivi always has buyers ask specifically about fuel tanks on a property and solar panels, which can also come with a long-term lease. She recommends any buyer include a clause in their agreement saying they're not bound by any contracts after the sale. By asking to have that put into a contract, it might spur a discussion about, "Oh, just, by the way, these tanks actually are leased, a unregistered trademark," she said. For now, it looks like this matter will be decided by the courts. Dunlap's Propane offered to sell the tank to Angelini for about $4, but Angelini believes he already paid for it when he bought the house. So, he's taking Dunlap's to small claims court. His hearing date, however, isn't until July.
Okay, so yeah, you have to be careful. I have to ask everything. A lot of times when you're in like the forest or farmland and stuff, you have your own tanks for propane, and then you pay someone to come bring it. It's not like when you're in the city or something where you can just hook up your house to gas and everything. And so normally you do pay a service to come fill it up, but I've never heard of someone like the company owning the tank. And the fact that they kept coming onto the property, cutting his bolts and stuff, is just like, was there no one who said, "Hey, this might not be a good idea"? you know, in the company going through and, you know, constantly going on the property. That's why you need a dog. You know, just, it has to be a big dog and someone, it doesn't have to be like a scary dog, but yeah. So this next one is.
SoCal pastor accused in murder for hire plot that targeted man dating his daughter.
So this one is about a pastor in Southern California who hired a hitman to take out the boyfriend that his daughter was dating.
A Southern California church pastor was arrested last week in what authorities described as a murder-for-hire plot that targeted a man who dated his daughter, police announced Tuesday. Samuel Davalos Prosales, 47, of Victorville, was arrested March 13 in the October 21 car-to-car shooting of a man who was driving in the Riverside area. The victim was struck several times by gunfire from inside a car that pulled alongside him near Grove Community Drive and Plainview Street, but survived after driving to a hospital for treatment. In a news release issued Tuesday, Riverside police said the shooting was part of a murder-for-hire plot hatched by Posales. He is accused of paying two men to carry out the killing after providing them with information about his daughter's boyfriend, including where he would be on the night of the shooting, police said. Detectives also determined these men were paid almost $40 by the father and had conducted surveillance on the victim in the weeks leading up to when they shot him, police said in a statement. Photos released by the department showed what appeared to be bullet holes in the windows of the victim's car. Pastor Rafael Perez, who runs Centro de Oracia Cube and International, told NBCLA the church does not have a fixed location and holds services around Victorville. He said Posales has been a volunteer with the church for about 10 years and filled in on pastor duties when Perez was away. Posales was arrested on suspicion of solicitation for murder, conspiracy to commit murder, attempted murder, and assault with a deadly weapon. Juan Manuel Cepeiros, 55, of Long Beach, was arrested on suspicion of conspiracy to commit murder, attempted murder, and assault with a deadly weapon.
So, the pastor paid close to $40,000 to have the boyfriend murdered, which, now that's a lot. I mean, like, you really don't like that boyfriend if you're willing to pay that much to murder him. I mean, I don't know. I guess I would be insulted if someone was like, hey, let's murder you for like $500. Like, is that all I'm worth? But still, $40,000 is a lot. Here's the rest of the story.
Both men are being held on $1 million bond. They were taken into custody March 13, Prosales in Victorville and Cepeiros in Long Beach, and entered not guilty pleas to several charges during a joint arraignment, according to court documents. Jail and court records indicated an ex-court date for both men was set for March 26. It was not immediately clear whether they have attorneys. NBCLA has reached out to the Public Defender's Office of Riverside County. No one answered the door at the Prosales family home when NBCLA attempted to contact them for comment Wednesday. The search continued Wednesday for a third person wanted in connection with the shooting.
This is a shorter story. But, yep.
Spy agency ready to launch new vehicle tracking satellites.
So, Space Force is they're getting ready to launch more satellites, and these ones are like specifically designed to track vehicles and everything around the world.
The National Reconnaissance Office is gearing up to launch new satellites that will enable the U.S. military and intelligence community to track moving vehicles and people from space. The Air Force wants to replace its aging EHJSTARS aircraft, which provide targeting data, with more survivable space assets and hand off a part of the Ground Moving Target Indicator mission, called GMTI, to satellites. The NRO already put satellites into orbit to test out the Concepta, and now the agency is ready to launch satellites for operations, said Christopher Scholes, director of the NRO. OE, the prototypes went up there. They were delivered in about 36 months from concept to launch, have operated fine, and we have exercised with Space Force and the other services to prove their capability and that we unregistered trademark were able to move on to production, as Scully said Wednesday at the National Security Innovation Bay Summit, hosted by the Ronald Reagan Institute. The NRO did not disclose when they would start launching the new satellites, or when the systems would be operational. The agency is developing the program with the Space Force, whose operators will fly the new satellites and point the sensors. While unclassified details about the program are sparse, the Space Force plans to work with the NRO to develop and field GMTI Sistema in fiscal year 2025, according to budget documents. The service is requesting $244 million in its 2025 budget for its OE Long Range Kill Chain Zip program, which includes the GMTI effort and OE auxiliary payloads, and it plans to spend more than $1.2 billion over the next few years. OE space-based GMTI system will provide actionable information on adversary surface targets to the warfighter through the Advanced Battle Management System, ABMS, as an integral part of Joint All Domain Command and Control, JADC2, concept. The USSF is working with the Air Force and the intelligence community in a complementary way to design, develop, and deploy space-based GMTI systems, according to documents. However, Space Force officials have said that the GMTI program can unregister trademark to move forward until Congress passes a fiscal 2024 budget because the effort is a new start in last year's unregistered trademark as budget request.
So, if they want to spend $1.2 billion, not $1, but other than that, I have to fix that when she reads. But I kind of already assumed they had technology like this, but I guess they don't. Nah, this one's kind of funny, but we have some health information. I don't believe it, but...
Why you should avoid going to the loo just in case before leaving home.
So they're saying it's better to hold in than have an empty bladder.
Have you ever gone to the toilet before leaving the house when you don't need to? Well, according to experts, it could be doing more harm than good. Yes, we've all been there. Popping to the loo for the sake of it just before heading out. But it might not come as a surprise to you that doing this every time could actually weaken your bladder. Specialist pelvic health expert Tiffany Sequeira shared her warning. She added, going for a wee when you don't feel the immediate need to do so strains your bladder to empty, when it isn't actually full yet. Basically, if you do this regularly, you're actually muddling the signals between your bladder and brain, Tiffany continued, generally, as the bladder fills, the stretch of urine pressing against the bladder wall sends signals to your brain that result in a series of urges, eventually leading you to the toilet to pass urine. Going on that first signal to pass urine, or even worse, going when you don't feel the urge to pass urine just in case, can result in a bladder signaling dysfunction.
So, yeah, I don't know about this, but this is mainly focused towards women, which is, it's different because as women get older, there's more incontinence issues. So there's a lot of like sneezing and peeing, and, you know, if you laugh too hard, you can pee. But with guys, it's the opposite, because as guys get older, we actually have the prostate. And so the urethra has to go through the prostate, and has, which is common, that the prostate gets more enlarged, that it actually stops urine from emptying. So then, instead of, so like guys will go and then they have to strain to go, and there's like the comical thing of where it just drips out. But a lot of times with guys, you're not able to actually get all the urine out. So it's like your bladder is always at like 25% full, which is problematic, because then you can get, you know, infections and stuff that can go up to your kidneys. But so your bladder is always at like 25% full. And then it's like, oh, you think you really have to go when it goes up to like, I don't know, 40% full, but you can never, you know, get it all out. So it's a little bit different.
It's important to keep your bladder and pelvic floor muscles strong, especially for women. Loads of women between 35 and 65 have trouble with leaking wee. So how do you keep your pelvic floor muscles fit? You should only go for a wee when you really need to, and get to know your pelvic floor, which are the muscles and bits that hold up your bladder, womb, and bowels. To do an exercise, think like you're trying to stop yourself from letting out a big fart. Then squeeze and pull up the muscles from your back passage. Now at the same time, imagine you are also trying to stop yourself urinating and pull those muscles up. You are now contracting your pelvic floor muscle. If you're running to the loo too much, it's worth speaking to a professional expert or doctor for help.
Okay, so now we're going to switch to, am I the butthole?
AITAH for setting some expectations for my new neighbors.
Let's see if they're the asshole. I'm sorry, the butthole.
About 2 months ago, the woman in the house across the street from me, we'll call her Donna, died. She was a great woman who was active in the community and died quite suddenly, which was a shock to the entire street. Well, after sitting vacant for a while, a young couple purchased the home, and they moved in on Saturday. They seemed nice and waved to me as I watched them from my front yard. When it was clear that they were done unloading the truck, I rang their doorbell to introduce myself. The man, we'll call him Andrew, answered, and I told him the names of everyone on the street. I was the first neighbor he had met, and he seemed eager to learn from me. I also told him that Donna was a great woman and that he and his wife, who we'll call Samantha, had some pretty big shoes to fill.
I don't know where this is going, but if you meet him and the first thing you say is, hey, you know, you got big shoes to fill. It's kind of like, I don't know. I'd feel weird about it if someone said that. I mean, I know it's kind of like, oh, it'd be a joke, but it's just like, I just met you. Don't even know if I'm nice or not, but let's continue on.
At this point, I thought it was best to tell Andrew about some of Donna's old traditions. Every Easter, she would let the neighborhood children hunt for eggs in her yard, and during the holiday season, she would set up a large light display in her yard. Andrew said something like, I'm sure she was a great woman. He wasn't getting it. I hinted that it would be a real shame if these traditions died out, since they're so popular with the rest of the neighborhood, and I asked Andrew if he and Samantha would be willing to continue them, for the good of the street. Andrew seemed sort of taken aback by my request, but I assured him that April is next month, so he would have more than enough time to gather supplies and plan good hiding spots. He made up some excuse about how he was busy and had to go and actually shut the door in my face while I was still standing on the porch. Donna never would have dreamed of treating me this way, and needless to say, I was pretty steamed. Now, I'm sure it's a possibility that on moving day he genuinely was busy with something, but all of his boxes and furniture were already inside the house, not out on the driveway.
So, from this point, I think this person kind of is the butthole. Because, you know, you just moved into a new neighborhood. That was Donna's traditions. And so it's just like, why don't you have those traditions on your own house? I mean, it's a pretty big deal having, you know, a party and get-togethers. And, like, if you don't know anyone in the neighborhood, it's like, why are you making them? They just moved in. Why are you making them continue those traditions and having people over that you don't know? And, like, you don't even know. Maybe they don't celebrate Easter. Maybe, you know, they don't like kids and everything. So just weird. It should have been like, hey, do you want to do this? And the guy should have been up front and said, heck no. But, like, I don't want random strangers coming over to the house. But let's see. Maybe the story gets better.
I walked back to my house and told my teenage son, who we'll call Harold, what happened. He told me that I was being controlling and that I should go back over and apologize immediately for the way I acted. I see so much of my ex-husband and Harold sometimes, and this is actually the way I would have expected him to react. Harold also told me that I had made a terrible first impression by what I had said. I asked him if he was done criticizing me yet and said that it wasn't at all unreasonable for me to have standards for my neighbor's behavior. Harold got up from where he was sitting on the couch and actually locked himself in his bedroom. He's been quite distant ever since, and it's been almost a week of this. I'm just trying to get a new couple acquainted with our traditions, and every step of the way, the people around me seem to be telling me to stop. I want to be welcoming, but it seems like everyone just wants to disparage me. The whole experience has really turned me off. A-I-T-A-H?
So, yeah, I think if everyone you interact with is telling you, you know, you're being inappropriate asking this stuff of your neighbors and stuff, the post was titled, Am I Setting Some Expectations for My New Neighbors Essentially Too High? And it's just like, that's... expectations for your neighbor is like, do they put the recycle bin? Do they take it out, take it back? Do they leave trash on the yard? Like, that's the kind of things you should be expecting from your neighbors. But having them, like, forcing them to have to do parties and stuff, like, that was a bad first impression. And her son, Harold, seems to be, like, the sane one. But, and she went on to say, you know, she was ashamed of this and that. Every step of the way around her, people seem to tell her to stop. She's like, yeah, you should stop. You know, don't bring that up anymore. But yeah, that's a really weird first impression to have. And, yeah. So. Let's see. Let's find another one. Yeah. This one is, am I the butthole for telling my ex-close friend that I don't want to work with her in the future? Let's see.
In terms of background information, we are all in senior year. Back in grade 10, I met this girl who soon we ended up being close friends. We were both lonely, so it worked in our favor. In grade 11, I made a lot of more friends and we ended up kind of distancing. Yeah, unregistered trademark Fiat friends told me about some of the things my previous close friend did, such as always staring at people and being insensitive. Although I felt sorry for those friends, yeah, unregistered trademark Fiat never seen her behave like that in front of me. Well, that all changed in grade 12. Now, I am going to call this previous close friend EFT, or ex-friend thing thought a unregistered trademark S what I usually call her plus I can a unregistered trademark T think of a better name. It all started in October when I got praised by my English teacher for my personal essay. I was super excited, so I immediately told my friend group. All of them were happy for me except for EFT, who said that I most likely stole the essay online and that my essay is hard to read. Everyone was put off by her behavior that day and everything went downhill from there.
Yeah, so I don't know if her friend's getting jealous or what. But that's a really weird thing to have happen all out of the blue. If you know, they've been friends from 10th grade and then all of a sudden they're in... I don't know. Yeah, all of a sudden in grade 12. Like, where is that coming out of? Like, how could she hide being, you know, kind of a snarky person that whole time? Let's continue on the story.
Then came the next situation. Secret Santa. A huge problem in the group is that we didn't unregister trademark T know if we should include EFT in the Secret Santa. We didn't unregister trademark T want anything problematic to occur, so we did a. And I ended up having to give her a gift. When I gave it to her, she looked upset and didn't unregister trademark T say anything. Once again, everyone was put off by her behavior. I was done at this point, so the next school day I confronted her about her behavior. There was also the fact that she had unfriended me twice. She kept going on saying that I was in Mahita. She asked me if I wanted her to continue being a part of my life. Without hesitation, I said no, and she started tearing up, so I left. I thought that by then we were officially not friends anymore. A big problem was that she remained in her group. Everyone feels mixed over her, but a lot of my friends are worried that if we kick her out of the group, she would cause a scene. Hence, she remained in the group, which is also a huge factor as to why she is behaving like this.
Let's continue on.
Today, Friday, she was asking me about data management homework. So I was helping her on that. She started to complain about her courses and how she might just drop some because they are too difficult for her. She seemed lost in life, so we were trying to give her legitimate advice on what to do post-secondary wise. I suggested for her to take a gap year, but she wanted to graduate with all of us. Then she proposed the idea that her and I can work in the same job in the future. Without hesitation, I said, I don't unregister trademark, do you want to work with Iwa? She was in disbelief, so she asked me why. I simply said that I didn't unregister trademark, do you need to answer that question? Then I saw her tear up. It was really awkward and I wasn't unregister trademark T sure what to do, so I talked to some other friends. I found it strange that she would want me to work with her and not a friend she is currently closer to. Then I realized she was trying to piggyback on my success since she always got jealous of me. X. She was upset that I got into a top school. She knows I am academically capable and she always tends to take the easy routes, so I think that was the purpose of her little scheme. But even so, I felt kind of bad. I don't unregister trademark T know if I was being too harsh here. I did not mean to make her cry, I just wanted to be straightforward with her because I didn't unregister trademark T want her thinking that we were still friends. A-I-T-A-H?
So I don't think she's the butthole. I think her friend was getting weird. Weirdly jealous of her. In 12th grade, I don't know why that all of a sudden started happening, but it seemed like the friend had a history of that with other people. So I don't know why she was able to keep it down for this friend, but like I think it's understandable to feel bad about it. I mean, it's not a good situation, and you know, not good situations even though you do the right thing, might not, you know, still might not feel right. So I don't think she's the butthole. But, you know, if she never got the picture that you're no longer friends, and she was still in the friend group, she could probably thought, oh, you know, it's not that bad, but it, I guess it was that bad. So we're going to do one more. So this one is... is an interesting one. But I'll let it read the whole way through.
Today on my way home from work, I found a person laying on the sidewalk unresponsive. He was an older gentleman with all of his things scattered everywhere as if he suddenly fell. I stopped my car and tried to get a response from him. I went to my car to get my phone to call 911 and realized I locked myself out of the car. A neighbor helped me call 911. Once EMT arrived, they realized he was overdosing and administered aid. The person who helped me call 911 gave me a ride to my home to get my spare key. I told him I would have my partner drive me back to my car, thinking there was no way my partner would be upset with me about this. As I went to find my partner in my home, I fell down the stairs from rushing around the house. I am okay. My fall woke him and he yelled at me, asking what I was doing. I explained to him what happened and asked for him to take me to the car with the spare key. He was very upset I woke him from the nap and was asking him for help, so I told him that if it is an inconvenience, unregistered trademark LL, just walk back to my car, only 6 blocks away. He got even more upset that I suggested I would walk to the car. To avoid an argument, I agreed to just let him take me. He was so upset, like you could see it on his face. I looked at him as we drove to my car, hoping ye unregistered trademark D get some sort of reassurance that everything is okay, but there was none. He became more upset I was staring at him. To make it less uncomfortable, I talked to him about how it all happened. Then we arrived at the scene of the incident to retrieve my car. When my partner saw the man, he said, "Oh, yeah, I don't unregister trademark D, know why you stopped to help him. You should have just let him die." This is because he noticed he was likely homeless, backpack with sleeping bag, soiled clothes, etc. I didn't unregister trademark T say anything back to him in that moment because I was shocked this was his response to me helping someone. I was not looking for anything over the top, but I was not expecting to be scolded for doing the right thing. When I got home, I stayed in my car for an hour thinking about what had happened and calming myself down. He asked me to come in and eventually texted me saying that I did the right thing and he loved me. But I cannot unregister trademark to help but not accept this response after everything that happened. He didn't unregister trademark to ask me if I was okay from the fall down the stairs, nor did I feel he genuinely thought I did the right thing. I came inside and he wanted to interact with me all lovingly. I was cold because unregistered trademark M still in shock from the entire ordeal and heartbroken that I was treated this way. He kept demanding I stop giving one-word answers to his questions and interactions. I explained that unregistered trademark M still upset and disappointed. His response was that I didn't unregister trademark T understand his situation and feelings about being woken up to chaos. I explained that I can understand it, but I don't unregister trademark T agree with it and have a hard time understanding how someone can be so mean and cold during an incident like this. He went on to tell me why I was wrong and I should be thanking him for waking up from a nap to take me to my car and deal with the chaos. I told him I don't unregister trademark T think I should thank him for taking me to my car considering how he treated me. I also mentioned that I even offered to walk when I realized he was upset, but he insisted on taking me at that time. He went on to tell me that I was the problem and this is a what unregister trademark is wrong with me. AITAH here?
So, I don't think she's the butthole. I do think she should get away from this person as fast as possible. I mean, whoever this partner is, I mean, it kind of sounds like, well, one, it sounds like he's a terrible person first off the bat, but it kind of seems like, you know, he feels all lovey-dovey and stuff, and this was a surprise to her, because I think he kind of showed his true colors by accident. I mean, nobody reacts like this to waking up from a nap, and you wake up from a nap and it's like, a little grumpy, but being like, oh, why'd you save that person's life from overdosing? That's a big, you know, that's a big red flag. And then, yeah, I mean, she offered to walk, but this doesn't seem like such a great neighborhood if there's like homeless people overdosing on the side. But that also doesn't mean anything, because, you know, overdosing happens so often that it can happen in any neighborhood. But I mean, one, she tripped and fell down the stairs. He doesn't care about that. And then, you know, he's trying to say, oh, this is your fault, I'm all grumpy. Like, and the dude needs to go back to sleep for a long time. But yeah, I don't think this is a good situation. And I think he kind of has been, you know, like I said, hiding his true colors of his personality and everything for a while. And this kind of, you know, crept out by accident. But I think it's only going to go worse from there, where he's going to get more comfortable in the relationship and he's going to start letting more outbursts come out. So that's kind of my situation. She's not the asshole in the slightest. She's quite a good person. But I think, you know, she should find a different situation and find someone else to be in a relationship. So I want to thank everyone for watching this. I'm going to take like a 10-minute break and then we'll switch over to Forza. So let's get ready.